Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here for our service this morning on this second Sunday after Pentecost. We're blessed to be together this morning and thankful that you could make it in to join us as well. We welcome the people who are tuned in on the radio this morning on KSPK. Thanks for joining us for our service that way this morning. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you are listening in to our service. This morning, we'll have the blessing of hearing about rest, something I know we all need, and something that God, in fact, does provide. So we're blessed to be talking about that throughout our service. You'll hear that in our readings and also in our sermon time as well. And we begin our service this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn number 579 in the hymnal in front of you. The law of God is good and wise. And we do invite the congregation when we get to the last verse of that hymn this morning to please stand if you're able. Thanks again for joining us. Let's sing.
Thank you.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. We continue with a Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We sing our hymn of praise this morning, hymn 790, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is our true Sabbath rest. Help us to keep each day holy by receiving his word of comfort, that we may find our rest in him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this second Sunday of Pentecost comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We invite you to join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today, hymn 760, "What God Ordains is Always Good." Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We can't really understand what God said to Israel and to us in the third commandment from Deuteronomy chapter 5 this morning unless we pay careful attention to the context of that section of Scripture. God said through Moses, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work." Why would God want us to take a Sabbath rest? Even in the New Testament times, like we're living in today, after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus into the heavens, after the sending of the Holy Spirit, we still need the gift, the grace, the slow it down, friends, and rest of the third commandment. We need it. His grace in our lives. Now granted, we're not under a legal dictate here, the letter of the law, any longer. As the apostle says in Romans chapter 6, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And we don't have to callously observe only Saturdays as the Sabbath. As the apostle wrote in Colossians 2, verse 17, and said, "Sabbaths are only shadows of things to come, but the substance is Christ," he says. And we hear him, right? But without a Sabbath, a rest, in our week, we start to feel the negative effects happening to us. It's not hard for us to easily see the practical, very pragmatic reasons for a Sabbath. Have you ever worked 7 days a week in your life for an extended period of time? The rest becomes really important, right? I know many of you have, and you know what I'm saying. It's a big deal. God's commandment has really practical reasons in our lives. As Jesus says in the gospel reading, he says, "So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And this means that while we see the practical reasons for rest and Sabbath, the Sabbath is actually pointing not to us. We see the reasons, but its ultimate trajectory, its ultimate movement is towards its Lord, towards Christ. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He's Lord of it. And the Pharisees had it wrong in our gospel reading when they were accusing him about his disciples plucking heads of grain out in the fields. And they were wrong about how they tried to trap him when he healed the man's withered hand on the Sabbath. They thought that Jesus was breaking the law. They thought the disciples should obey the callous dictate of a certain calendar day. And it was very bold of those men to bark commands at God himself about his own law. Quite bold. The Sabbath observance of Israel was always and only purposed in bringing people to Messiah. For he is our rest. It was nothing more than that, nothing less than that in its ultimate trajectory. But it's amazing to see how that's the case. And it becomes clear again, like we said at the beginning of the sermon, when we really see the context of Deuteronomy chapter 5, which we'll get to in a minute. First, I want to make sure you catch this concept of how the Sabbath points to Jesus. And it's easiest to see it in Holy Saturday. So Jesus is crucified on Friday, right? The next day, Sabbath. Holy Saturday. The following day, Easter Sunday, of course. But it's on Holy Saturday that Jesus does what? Absolutely nothing. He's in the tomb. He's dead. Everyone else that's ever lived on the face of this planet, no matter how holy or righteous they think they are, in their heart has broken the commandment, the third one, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Jesus, however, did not, but fulfilled it in his perfect rest all day long on Saturday, a whole day, from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday night. He fulfilled it. No one could keep it holy and perfect except Jesus, whose perfect sacrifice of love, his death on the cross, showed his real holiness, the likes of which the world had never seen. This is why Jesus said to them in verse 27 of Mark chapter 2, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It was made for man because it was made for Jesus. If you remember our sermon from last week, Jesus is fully human in his person, fully God in his person. The Sabbath was made for Jesus to fulfill it. Because the reality of Jesus' Sabbath rest fulfills our obligations and dictates to the law, because he died for us. So then when we hear Sabbath, it takes us by the hand once again and leads us to where it always was pointing, to Christ crucified for us, for freedom. Christ has set us free. Another way of saying it is this, that God didn't create you to be a slave to one day of the week by a lunar calendar, but rather, he created Sabbath rest for you, for your benefit, for your hope, for your joy, for your blessing, to lead us to the forgiveness of Christ. And it's still true today. Sabbath rest, Luther will say, that we should not despise his word, but gladly hear it and learn it. Whenever we choose to observe, we must observe. This is the part we mess up. We get hung up on other things and we mess it up. But we must observe this reality of rest. And it'll lead us to Christ in some amazing ways. We must observe his word, hear his preaching as we're doing this morning, hear his gospel. Rest is another one of God's precious gifts to you. Every person I know understands this, right? Because we're laying in our beds at night. And what's going through our minds? The world, right? The troubles, our insecurities, the things that make us feel afraid or shameful, the ways we're afraid people will think about us or are thinking about us, the things that we haven't got done, and the list grows and grows and grows, and we lay on in our beds and we think, I'm supposed to be sleeping here, but I'm not sleeping. And then when we finally do drift off into that sweet, sweet rest, and we wake up the next morning, what do we say? Oh, thank God I finally got to sleep last night. It's his gift. Rest, I mean. But even with so many important meanings of this that we see clear back in Deuteronomy 5, within its full context, the thing's going to explode within its context. See, after God through Moses commands the people to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the text says this. We already read verse 14, but the real reason for the Sabbath observance, The real one, the big one, shows up in verse 15, right on the heels of it. It was a part of our reading from the lectionary this morning. As soon as he gets done saying to remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, don't work, then he says this, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. He said it's because of the Exodus. That's what the text says. So what's important about the Exodus? Well, precisely this. Israel did not rescue themselves out of Egypt. It was God with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm that rescued them out. So why are you trying to rescue yourself out of what's got you? Why do I try to do that for myself? Tell me it's not true. We get in a pickle. Something goes awry. I can't think of any other witty phrases for this, so I'll save you from coming up with another one. But something's not right. What's the first move? God wants to teach us this morning. He wants to show us who He is. He wants to show us His grace. He wants to show us, like He says in Exodus also, that we have a God who fights for us. We only need be still. Trying to rescue ourselves out of all of our problems will only drown us in the water, like Peter out in the water when he's trying to walk. He just sinks as soon as he looks at these things instead of Christ. Christ Himself, God Himself, promises that He cares for you. He says that you're His child. That He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That He, like we heard in the psalm this morning, is our fortress and our strength. That He's a very present help in trouble. Israel didn't take themselves out of Egypt during the Exodus. God did. It was the blood that was spread on the doorposts and the lintels of the home, the blood of the lamb that kept the angel of death away that night. And then they ate the body of that lamb. And then Jesus brings that all together for us right here at the altar in the Lord's Supper. The blood of the Lamb of God, that's what takes away the sin of the world. We can't necessarily fix everything that goes wrong in our life, but we got a God who can. And He did, and He continues to help His people each and every day, even though they doubt Him and they don't think He's going to help, but then He does. God did the work to rescue those people out of Egypt. That's why He says what He says in Deuteronomy 5. Remember the rest. Remember the fact that your salvation is not up to you and mine is not up to me, but God Himself will save us from sin, death, and the devil, our captors in this world. Jesus says it in John's Gospel, whoever sins is a slave to sin, but we have a God who delivers and who rescues us out. And we don't do the work. He does. All of it. This is the tricky part for us, though. It really is. Because in our lives, all of us, it is precisely our work that provides for us, right? Do you have a home? Do you have vehicles? Do you have food? Do you have all this stuff that you need? Right? Because you work. At least that's how it's supposed to work. Because you go out and you labor and you work and you do things and it literally provides for you. You could even say, if you wanted to use the language this way, that it literally even saves you from starvation and from the elements and from, thirst and everything that you're providing. It's all by our work. So it gets really tricky for us when we approach God. Because when we approach His Word, that's not how it works at all. He wants us to know not to take that reality and cast it up onto Him and try to understand Him by it and thereby pile the law back on our heads, thereby bring more guilt and shame upon us because we're not able to live up to these legal dictates. No, He's taken them out of the way in Christ, like we read from Colossians and Romans, set free from the law of sin and death. Instead, He wants us to know when it comes to God, when it comes to your forgiveness, when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to my forgiveness, we rest. We Sabbath. He does the work. And He's already done it for you and for me. And as Christians, every time we hear His word or His gospel, every time we receive His sacrament, every time the Spirit leads our minds to the Scriptures throughout our days, we Sabbath. As we rest in Him and what He did for us and His promises of what He's going to do for us in the future. And we can literally walk in the door of our problems and hang our hat right there on His promises because they'll always be there. God's work saves. What Jesus did on His cross, the blood of the Lamb, He does the work that takes away our sin. And God wants us to live in that. Not just one day of the week, every day of the week, that Sabbath rest that is our Lord Jesus in His work, in His death, burial, and resurrection. God providing for you, that's what it is. Even in this life, so that we might constantly trust in Jesus. See the context of the Scripture in your own life, just like we saw it in Deuteronomy 5. And rest, friends. In His truth, in His promises, in His salvation. He is Lord of the Sabbath until He comes again in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're printed on page 7 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of all light and power, You shine upon Your creatures and eradicate all darkness that lies within them. Destroy the darkness our sin has caused in our lives. Help us to shine the light of Your grace and truth and Your rest into the lives of our neighbors and those around us. As well as, Lord, help us to trust in You, to rest in You, to Sabbath in You, Lord, in Your mercy. Lord of glory, You've gathered Your church and sanctified us in Your truth. Guide and direct Matthew, our synod president, James, our district president, and Dan, our circuit visitor. Preserve all vacant congregations. Send laborers into Your harvest and sustain those whom You have sent. Lord, in Your mercy. Bless the fields and the orchards with good weather, that all people may be well supplied and filled with Thee in awareness of Your mercies. Grant that we may show forth grateful and generous hearts within Your church and in the world around us. Lord, bless all hospitals, doctors, nurses, staff, administration. Lord, that they may be a beacon of light, of love and care to those who are in need, and that those who are in need and come to them would see, oh Lord, your work through their hands and through their jobs as they care for their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established all authorities on earth. Bless all public servants, especially Joseph, our president, Jared, our governor, that they would fulfill their offices with wisdom and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, be the strength and song of those who are afflicted in body or in mind. Especially, Lord, we name before you this morning from the altar Julie Knoll, Ricky Luco, the Mitsukami family, Bill Van Giesen, William Turner, Emily Johnson and family, John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jeery, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, Isabel Cody. Lord, remember each and every person that we've named this morning and rush to help them, we pray. And Lord, also we pray that you'd be with those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, give repentance and faith to all who receive our Lord's body and blood today, that the unity of a true confession, that they may, as they Sabbath in your salvation, receive it for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead. We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time in our service, we take the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of those things that he so graciously blessed us with, and our tithes and offerings. As our tithes and offerings are collected and presented to the altar, we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist. My brain skipped a beat during the prayers of the church. Would you pray with me again, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, you truly pour out your kindness upon us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. Lord, and you promise us that you're with us in life and in death. Lord, this morning we lift up the family of William Tanner, and we ask that you bless them in their time of struggle and their grieving. Lord, we know you give all peace and all comfort. And Lord, we ask that you rush that to them and send your servants to them to speak your word, that they may know your peace. And we lift them to you in Christ's name. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We're blessed that you're able to listen in, and we wish you the Lord's blessings as well on the rest of your day and throughout your week. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament, and we also invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks for grace.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
safety. This is the very body of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, given into death. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.